This isn't the podcast I expected to be doing. 1 year ago, when Flash Diaries mysteriously disappeared, it divided us. This podcast will be perfect when it covers
The Crisis!
The Crisis Diaries, a new episode streaming each week. Welcome back to another episode of Flash Diaries. Whoa. Crisis Diaries?
Yes.
Almost screwed that up.
Although technically not, because it's still called Flash Diaries.
Well, yeah. Changing everything was too complicated, and we wanted to hop onto it. So it's Flash Diaries presents Crisis Diaries.
The Crisis.
Yes.
The only crisis we're facing this episode is that there are no episodes of The Flash or Arrow to review.
Yeah, Batwoman and Supergirl both also don't have anything to do with Crisis at all. So, right. So I was a little bummed because I was, I woke up on Wednesday and I was like, ooh, okay, let me see what I'm going to have to watch. And it was like, nope, still nothing new. And I'm like, what? That's crazy. Even Arrow, which started a week late, didn't have anything new. And I was like, oh, man.
Yeah, that is weird. I wonder if that helps them somehow catch up with each other so they can be simultaneous. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know how that
works. Was something happening on Tuesday? Because I feel like they always kind of do that. Maybe, was Tuesday, election night or something?
I don't think Fox is going to be affected by that. That's local elections.
Well, and it's not even Fox. It would be...
Oh, that's right. It's CW.
CW.
Sorry. I'm thinking... I'm in a Gotham state of mind right now.
Okay.
That's why.
See, I still would love it if somehow they justified... Well, in Batwoman, they did mention Mayor Cobblepot...
Uh-huh,
right. And so I'm like, so there's still a chance. Like every moment, I still want that Gotham to technically be the prequel to Batwoman. You know what I mean? Like, even though they aren't the same network or anything, they just sort of like, they just let it be known that kind of happened. Because that had like a time period which was sort of like ambiguous. So you could kind of pretend like this is the sequel.
I'm sure they want people to exercise that. Although when you mentioned to me Mayor Cobblepot, I instantly think Batman Returns with Michael Keaton and Danny DeVito.
Yes. Oh, interesting. Okay.
Because that happened too.
And that actually leads us directly into the thing we're going to talk about this week, which is with the time off from that, we actually started to watch a little bit of Birds of Prey, because the CW has it on the CW Seed app for free and has been pushing it in episodes of the other shows. Like I've seen commercials when I watch it on the CW app in like watching The Arrow. They have all these old shows that they're pushing for CW Seed, and one of them is Birds of Prey. And there's been rumors that Birds of Prey may or may not have something to do with this crisis. And so you got to go back and watch the show. So, Alan, you watched the pilot.
I did watch the pilot.
Had you ever seen it before?
I hadn't. I'd heard about it. I remember it being on. And I remember thinking, I don't know if I want to watch a show that's in Gotham without Batman. And they've definitely make an effort not to have Batman on the show. And I just didn't. I didn't watch it. When it was first on. Now, before this podcast, I watched the pilot episode in hindsight after having seen many seasons of Flash and many episodes of Arrow and Supergirl and the like. So it's maybe a little bit different colored lenses I'm looking at it through today versus if I'd watched it back then. I would only really have Smallville and the first season of 1990 Flash.
Yeah.
To compare it to.
And honestly, I think a lot of it actually came from trying to create another Smallville.
Right.
Basically.
Yeah.
And so what did you think about it?
It's a good question because because I don't like to be an acting snob as far as comic book shows are concerned. But when you do have moments where there aren't any comic book situations going on, action or special effects, you really do need to have some good actors to carry those scenes.
Oh, whoa. Okay.
Yeah. And really in this pilot episode, the best actress you have is the woman from Starship Troopers. And outside of that, you don't really have premium acting quality.
Which one is the one from Starship Troopers?
She's Batwoman, or Batgirl, I should say, Batgirl Oracle.
Okay, okay.
And she's decent. She's definitely, in my opinion, the better actress of anyone else on the show, period. but yeah, with everything else, with all these scenes of just people one-on-one conversation, and you're trying to basically like the characters or have any investment in them, I'm very distracted by the lack of connection that they have with their characters in the scenes. So that's kind of my take as a whole. There are some redeeming qualities of the show. I do like some of the action sequences, some of the special effects, some of the fantasy element, I should say. And even seeing Batgirl in her original costume was kind of cool in some of the flashbacks. Plus, you have a little bit of a Batman and Joker situation, and you get to see Arkham Asylum, which I think was kind of cool. But I think I'm a bit jaded now, seeing scenes with Grant Gustin and Jesse R. Martin kind of spoiling me for better acting.
No, that makes sense. That makes sense. I mean, it's definitely a... It's of its time. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, the CG is not great.
Right.
It's not super horrible, but it's definitely dated. It's an interesting take. Like, there's a lot of, like, Huntress jumps off buildings a lot, and then we just sort of go, oh, she jumped off the building. Like yeah. As opposed to, like, Arrow or something where we would, like, follow her all the way down.
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while, you kind of do that, but that's really CG. You know what I mean? Like,
and it's like CG just to show someone jumping from one building to the other and forward flipping.
Yes, yes. And there was a moment, there's a moment in the finale where two characters are battling each other, and then they jump up to the second story of the watchtower, and you're just like, neither of them have that power, like, and it's so obviously like wire work kind of jumps and stuff, and like, why did you need to add that? That wasn't necessary. You know what I mean? Like, like, you could just have done something else. But overall, it's an interesting thing. Like we were talking about the second Batman movie, and it very much feels like it's a sequel to that, in the sense that there's very much Helena's mom is Catwoman, and in the picture of Catwoman that they show, it's very, she's got this sewn together suit.
Right.
Of Michelle Pfeiffer kind of thing going for her. And that's really cool. You know, they definitely have this, I don't know. It's a little too CW-y, you know?
Right. I mean, definitely. Yeah. With the CW and, you know, Smallville started off on the WB and then I guess got converted to the CW because they absorbed each other. But Smallville, similar situation where, oh, there's a lot of people in this show just because they look good. And Birds of Prey is definitely guilty of that. It's like, oh, you're pretty. That's why you're in this show. But like Smallville, especially in the first couple of seasons, you had some pretty good actors tent-poling the show. You had John Schneider, Annette O'Toole. Yep. You had Glover, John Glover, and Lex Luthor was, I'm blanking on his name all of a sudden. I love him too.
He's great. He's also the voice of Flash in the Justice League cartoon, which was awesome.
Which is also excellent. I feel so bad that, his name is going to come to me. And everyone listening is screaming at their recording. I apologize. Anyway, but look, when all of those guys left after about, I think the fifth or sixth season, And when they left, I felt the show suffered to a point where I just didn't find myself interested in Smallville anymore. So that's about the time I stopped watching.
Which is interesting because to me, the last couple of seasons are the fun seasons because they finally give up on not letting anybody else in. And so you get Aquaman and Mera and a Flash and a Green Arrow and, you know, the Wonder Twins at one point. I mean, like, it was campier, but like, to me, it was fun to just go through. You have Booster Gold, you have Blue Beetle. Like the fact that those characters were in Smallville at one point to me made it watchable again. Like, I actually had stopped watching because of either work or just not having the time in like season three. But when they started actually having all these other characters come back into Smallville, that was when I started to watch again, just to see what they were going to do with it. You know what I mean? Like, I wasn't watching it as like a serious drama or anything, but I was just they're going to have the Wonder Twins this week. Let's see how they pull that off.
Right. No, and I
hear you. Honestly, by the way, I enjoyed it.
As you started talking, Michael Rosenbaum's name just popped into my head. So there you go, everyone. Good. It was Michael Rosenbaum the whole time. But yeah, I agree. And I don't watch any of these shows because of the high drama necessarily. But when you have all these scenes outside of the action sequences, the writers do write these scenes to develop these characters and to make you pull for these characters and give you an emotional connection. And they did that, I think, expertly, which is why you see Kevin Smith driven to tears when he sees that season finale of Flash, where he's talking to his mom and there's that connection of a child and his mother, you know, on her deathbed, essentially. And you get to say goodbye that you didn't get to say in the first place, which is so heartwarming and heartbreaking at the same time. And with the opening of Birds of Prey, the writers attempted that with Selena Kyle's death and Helena holding her dying. But the actress in that scene wasn't capable of conveying that pain very well.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't think it's the fault of the writing so much as the execution.
Okay. Well, no, I mean, that's valid. It was an interesting watch. I mean, like, from a comic book standpoint, I do wish they had like a little bit more of a season because it would be cool to see what happens. Mm-hmm. In the finale, they tease, you know, Harley Quinn becomes Harley Quinn basically, but somehow now she's got telepathy because she stole it from another metahuman. Goodness. And so she's like commanding this army, but she's like, call me Harley Quinn.
So she wasn't Harley Quinn before this. It's not like she dropped the guys before Birds of Prey.
They don't seem to say, we don't really, as far as I can tell, we don't really get much backstory for her. Okay. My assumption would be that at some point she got turned by the Joker in Arkham Asylum.
Right.
But I don't think that's said during the season. I watched three episodes in my rewatch to get ready for this. I watched the pilot. I watched the finale.
Yeah.
And I watched an episode called Sins of a Mother. And the titular mother was played by Lori Loughlin.
Yes.
Which amused the heck out of me.
Well, you're saying Lori Loughlin as a mother might be guilty of a sin?
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. Interesting.
So that was funny. But it was also interesting because she is Black Canary. And the girl, Dinah, is actually her daughter.
Oh.
And so she's sort of a white canary at one point, kind of, but ends the season in a black outfit. No, the daughter ends the season in a black outfit. Lori's character actually supposedly dies at the end of the episode she's in.
Okay.
But she comes back and reconnects with her daughter for a moment and then dies. But she's Black Canary. And you're just like, oh, wow, okay. It's very interesting to see that come along like that.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit of a bummer that both they killed her off, kind of, which I... I doubt was a real death. It probably would be something that would come back if they had had a season two. But also it's a bummer that Laurie is who she is, because having a black canary in the crossover would be a lot more interesting, I think.
Because
then you can have the canaries bounce off each other and have like several versions of black canary and white canary all bouncing off each other. But I believe what they've been talking about is it's more likely Huntress comes through.
Okay.
Which is a kind of a bummer in a sense that like Huntress doesn't have another real Huntress to bounce stuff off of unless they bring back Huntress, but I don't even know if she's still alive in Arrow. Because they did do Huntress in the beginning of Arrow and she's been back a couple of times, but it's not the same.
Yeah.
So, but this is this Earth 2 Huntress sort of in a way, because she's got Earth 2's backstory for her parentage instead of the Earth 1 Huntress. And so, yeah, I think it would be really interesting.
Now,
to
when you
see...
say Earth 2 and Earth 1, are you talking about the Arrowverse or comic
books?
Comic books. Okay, so comic book. Right. So comic book Earth 2 is the golden age comic book continuity. Is that correct?
Yes, exactly. Okay. So I believe in that one, Batman and Catwoman have a daughter. Her name is like Helena Wayne, I think.
Yeah.
But that's who the Huntress is in that storyline. I believe in the normal DC universe, her storyline is much more similar to the one that was in Arrow, where she's the daughter of a mob family or something.
Right. Yes, I'm familiar with that. Yes.
So it would be, it almost would be more interesting to be have the Black Canary from that universe come over, even though she's not really part of the season or the series or such. It also would have been really kind of neat to see her daughter be the character that's crossed over. And as far as I can tell, it's going to be Huntress that's coming in.
Well, and the Black Canary, the girl in the pilot episode is the same actress as the girl who plays Alice in Batwoman.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
So the Dinah is the girl from Batwoman?
Is the villain from Batwoman.
That is crazy.
Yeah. I'm guessing that they cast her for that reason. You've got, you know, DC Universe credibility, so we'll put you in this role. But yeah, I was looking up the actresses from Birds of Prey, and sure enough, it seems like that's the same woman.
That is awesome, because that means that she might be in it.
Yeah, they've already got her on the payroll.
They got Brandon Roth probably playing at least two characters, I'm hoping.
Right, yeah.
But okay, so that's perfect. Then just bring either Batgirl or Huntress in, and so Huntress, sure, why not? That makes sense to me. Yep. I like it.
And exactly, Black Canary.
Yeah. That's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to obviously that's why we're doing the podcast. I'm looking forward to the
crisis. Yes.
It was an interesting series. It was, from what I've read also, there was another pilot shot before the one that was aired and it's the same basic story, only it's a little darker and it's a little bit, and it's a different, it's not Mia Sara as Harley Quinn. It's another lady.
Well, and Mia wasn't in the pilot episode.
Oh, is she not?
No, that's not her. Right?
Oh, I mean, like, maybe we did see that. That would be interesting to see which pilot we had.
I remember looking up, you know, who played whom, and yeah. I was watching the pilot episode, and I was like, that's not Mia Sara. That's not Ferris Bueller's time cop woman. But I think maybe in another episode later on in the series, maybe she takes on the role. I don't know.
I think that there's a pilot with her and a pilot without her. So maybe put the original pilot on CWC. That would be interesting.
But she's Which is a recurring bummer. Character, right?
Yeah. She's basically the big baddie for the first season.
Yeah. So, okay. Well, and again, I only watched the one episode. So did you not notice in other episodes that it was a different actress?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I don't think it is a different extras. I think it's Mia Sara the whole time.
Oh, weird.
Except for maybe the pilot on the CWC. Maybe they have it.
I don't know. I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but it did not seem like her.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. Did you also realize that the bad guy from episode one is supposed to sort of be Scarecrow?
No, I didn't think of that.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a hypnotist.
Yeah, yeah. So there's a, but there's a, it's supposedly it's like a reference to Scarecrow or something. I don't, you know, and then later they actually go and visit Arkham Asylum and run in and talk to a Clayface, because there's another guy who's got a Clayface-esque thing going on. So they actually go talk to an original Clayface kind of thing.
So they kind of Hannibal Lectered it.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
So yeah, no, I mean, there's the fun part of shows like these is when you just get to see where they pull their ideas from. You know what I mean? Like, that's, I enjoyed Once Upon a Time for a few seasons just because I liked,
oh, yeah.
I liked seeing what they were going to do with the differences of, you know, like, you know, how they reinvent these characters.
Yeah.
And especially interesting to me was that they were reinventing these characters, but they weren't reinventing Cinderella from this fairy tale. They're reinventing Disney's version of Cinderella.
Right. Yeah.
And so to me, that was an interesting take, because nobody had really ever done, you know, everybody sort of has revamped all those characters several times, but from their original fables. This
right.
one was specifically revamping the Disney version of all those characters. And so it was always interesting to be like, oh, okay, there's Chip with Beauty and the Beast. Got
yep.
it. Okay. You know, like just to see what they, I like the idea of the reinvention of them.
I agree. Like, the first couple seasons of Once Upon a Time were a lot of fun in that respect. And then they kind of deviated from that, because you kept those same characters from that first season. And it's
yeah.
like, okay, we already know the difference between your version and the old version. So we're focusing on characters that you've already introduced me to. And now you're just bringing in other characters. Like, oh, by the way, there's this other character we can show you the difference. Of. All right, never mind. The concept of this show, I'm not second guessing who is what in this world anymore, you know?
Yeah, yeah, exactly, exactly. So it was an interesting thing. I would say if you're looking for something this week to watch and don't have episodes of the CW to watch, go back and maybe watch the pilot and maybe watch the finale to see where these characters start and where they the end, and just to get a sense of this other new Gotham.
Yeah.
That because there are also, I mean, it also feels very similar to Batwoman in the sense that, like,
yes,
it's a post Bruce Wayne, Batman, Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
They're there, you know, protecting the city, his proteges kind
yeah.
of, but they are sort of connected to him, but Barbara's
for sure.
the only one really connected. The other ones kind of like don't know what to talk to Bruce about, kind of, you know.
Well, it's and Batwoman too. Like, you have Luke Fox, who I guess is the only direct connection to Batman in Batwoman. And mm-hmm. then you're, you know, everything is second and third hand knowledge in Batwoman.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, it's very, very parallel.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I like your description of the whatever, Matt Hagen, Clayface or whatever they were doing in Birds of Prey. Like, that gives me more of a motivation to see more episodes of Birds of Prey.
Yeah.
Because I literally have no idea what to expect out of any of the episodes. It's like, oh, this one has a Mr. Freeze episode. It's like, oh, well, if that's the case, then I want to see it.
that's the thing, though. I think those are really the two that they reference. Like,
okay.
It's not every episode. It's like a little bit. The big focus of the series is the fact that there's metahumans, which is very weird for a Batman series.
Yes.
And then there's also this weird thing about the metahumans in that nobody has the same power. So there's only one metahuman for each power, kind of.
Mm-hmm.
And then at one point they have like a Siler type character who is taking all these powers. And so it's,
this is
so
Birds of Prey.
I remember. Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
I remember that being a weird thing to be like, I feel like limiting those powers is really limiting, like backing yourself into a corner, writers. I don't know what you're going to do about this.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see, you know, see how this shows up in Crisis. It should be a lot of fun, I think. And
yeah. Sounds good to me. I mean,
yeah.
I know I kind of pooed on it at the beginning of the episode, but yeah, maybe there's more to it, and it's free. So you can
binge watch the whole
series.
It's a little cheesy. And it is very 90s. I mean, I don't know if I've ever seen more white like tank tops on characters than in this series. It feels like everybody wears a white tank top at one point, and you're
just like, tough.
I don't know if that is that supposed to be sexy? Is that like, it's very weird.
It makes you gritty and you take no nonsense when you wear a tank top.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Also, you know, Oracle in, I mean, there's also positives about this, like the fact that there's a woman in a wheelchair as a lead for a TV show, especially a superhero TV show.
Right.
That was really cool. There's a small girlish feel going on where the team is all women and the big baddie's a woman. It's not quite as Smallville where everybody seems to be a woman, you know?
Yeah.
But there is this very much a sort of like a women front and center in the series, which is kind of neat. And, you know, 20 years ago, that's still impressive, you know?
Yeah.
So there's lots of things that could be taken out of this to just be like, okay, that's kind of cool. But, you know, watch an episode for free and then maybe watch the finale just to see where they end up. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of cool.
I like it. All right, cool.
Yeah. Cool. Well, thank you very much. This has been another episode. Where can they find you, Alan?
Oh, same as always, www.orlandopodcast.net. Listen to my episodes of either Made in the Trade or Cluster Fudge, which are also available on iTunes.
Awesome. I believe you also might, I'm still deciding, but I think there's a chance you might be able to hear Alan next week on We're All Yankovics.
All right.
So go over to WeAllYankovics.com and check that out. We're continuing to do debates about Weird Al songs, so it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But for now, I think that we've come to the end.
Yes, we have. But don't worry, everyone. You know why?
We'll be back in a flash.